I'm Haley.
I'm John.
And I'm Will.
And we're from Crimson Comet, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1. You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune. I am Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And your reporters for this very special 8th episode of Season 4 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Welcome to the new normal.
And our very special guest, crossing over from the Crimson Comet podcast, is Mr. Jonah Lobster.
A bunch of superheroes in a farmhouse? I feel like I've seen that in a movie before.
Hey, just remember, keep doing what you're doing. Make smart decisions.
Make good choices.
This podcast is recorded live on Blob, the Blob streaming service, on Thursday, December 3rd, 2015. We are just a few guys that discuss the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I am not a comic expert. I'm actually a sci-fi guy. Star Wars. But I'm catching up with the comic lore just a little bit because I'm reading. And thanks to folks like Chris.
I was going to try and make a Star Trek joke since you said lore, but I decided I'd leave that one be.
Data lore.
And as we mentioned before, Jonah Lobster from our sister podcast, The Crimson Comet.
That's right.
Okay, so if you haven't picked up on it already, we are in the middle of our Gunna Geek crossover between the Crimson Comet podcast and the Starling Tribune podcast, because we had, it's hard to call it a crossover because it wasn't. It was just one big story. It was great. But they crossed over both casts of Arrow and Flash. And so that's what we do on the Gunna Geek. We kind of mimic what works, because this has got to be big ratings for us, right?
Oh, of course.
We have brought Jonah Lobster over from the Crimson Comet. We have sent Neil to Central City, which oddly enough for him is the same as Star City. So a little time warpy thing going on there.
Right.
It's because Neil lives there.
Shh. Spoiler alert. Now they're going to find Neil.
That's fine. He wants to be found. He wants to be found. He wants to be part of the writing staff. Just go down there in the morning, set him straight, and then go home. That's what he's doing. So welcome, Lobster. We appreciate you being a part of this crossover.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the fun-ish.
And the dark. Arrow's the dark side, right?
So I should turn my lights off then?
It's too bright in Central City. Oh.
Hey, just a little warning. During this podcast, we'll be talking about what happened in the current episode of the CW television show Arrow, as well as the current episode of the CW show The Flash, as well as news articles and announcements that could impact future episodes. And as we saw in this episode, have impacted past and future episodes. Bake your noodle around that later. It will contain spoilers for all of that, so consider yourself warned. Just a little reminder, you can catch up on all of our shows for seasons 1, 2, and 3 and the intermediate seasons and the season 4 episodes at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. All our past episodes, they're just waiting for you. Just go there. You'll see them. Hey, we did get the crossover episode this week. One was titled Legends of Today, and the Arrow episode was titled Legends of Tomorrow, right? Did I get that right?
Legends of Yesterday. The series will be called Legends of Tomorrow.
That's right. Keeping it straight. So, Chris, break it down for me.
So, like SP said, this week was Legends of Yesterday. It was directed by our good friend Thor Freudenthal. Again, I think he has one of the best names ever for
Thor,
Hollywood.
Thor, buddy! Oh! By the way, Neil brought up Speedweed. I forgot to mention it last week. He's his favorite writer. So I'm watching Haven, and I'm actually watching the opening credits, something like I never do. And guess who is actually directing and writing the episode? Yeah, Speedweed.
Speedweed. And so continuing to wrap up on this current episode, they brought in the bigwigs this week for writing. This week we had Greg Berlanti and Mark Guggenheim paired up together. The showrunners came in to write this massive crossover, and I have to say, they did a pretty good job.
They did. They made it fun, too.
It was a lot of fun. This was the Avengers on the small screen. That's how I look at it.
It literally was the Avengers because they had the bar party scene in The Flash, and then they had the farmhouse scene in Arrow. So yes, we have the Avengers right here. It's great. All right, Lobster, you're the guest. Where do you want to start?
Oh my gosh. Let's kind of recap briefly what happened in The Flash version. I know they've probably gone over that, but we have the stage set with the introduction of Vandal Savage as our big bad for the crossover. We have the swooping in of Hawkman to swoop up Hawkgirl and kind of like that all leads in. So when we get to the cold open of tonight's episode, if you probably had not seen The Flash, you might be confused as to why we started in ancient Egypt of all places.
Yes, I could see that being confusing.
Absolutely.
But that said, I want to say that I think these crossover episodes are a great place to start if you're a new viewer of the show, because when they have the two casts get together, there's this real quick game of catch up of like, oh yeah, you did this for 6 months, and oh, what do you mean there's another Flash and another Dr. Wells from another Earth, and like, what's going on with that? So it's kind of a good place to jump in.
Well, and the pre-show on these crossovers does a very good job of touching on things that have happened months before that you really need to know to understand how it happens, because
the context.
We all knew from the end of Flash that Oliver was going to find out more about his son. And they just kind of hammered that fact in more when you're watching the pre-show previously on Arrow, and it's all the stuff about Moira paying her off. I'm like, oh, this is going to play a much bigger part than I thought it would this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Much bigger.
But they also made like little funny quips, like you were mentioning Lobster, like ketchup. Like, what's with the no sleeves, Oliver?
Yeah, don't you get cold? I never get cold.
It's something I've made fun of a few times, his lack of sleeves and how everything else is bulletproof, but his arms. Just shoot him here.
And his chin. His chin. Don't forget his chin.
And his chin.
And we finally figured out why the blankouts and stuff were happening down in the lair. It's because Felicity didn't actually wire it to Cisco's specs. So it had nothing to do with anybody trying to hack in. It had nothing to do with Adam. And I think they dropped the ball a little bit on that, to be honest with you, because it was a little thing like, oh,
you didn't follow the specs.
Yeah. And she's like, well, it hasn't cut out late. Well, it cut out yesterday, but it hadn't right. been an ongoing thing. And if it was just Cisco.
Right. I had totally forgotten about it until you mentioned
it. Yeah.
So I assumed it was more of a retcon to fix the fact that they were like, eh, we're not going to use this for Ray after they already set the ball in motion. That's more of what I was thinking. It's an easy way to write it off.
I don't know if they were going to use it for Ray, though. I think they were going to try to use it for Cisco all along, and they just dropped it along the way.
Yeah, that's kind of weak then, if it's just for that joke.
Exactly. Maybe that's why it was minimized, because they thought better and was like, man, this ain't going to play in Central City or Star City or Starling City or Vancouver or whatever. Okay. I'm just getting so confused.
So many cities, so little time.
Yeah. So briefly, Wells did make the Velocity 6.0 serum. We're going to see that later. Obviously, there's still at least a use or two left in the vial. And it was great seeing Jay actually get his speed powers back, although briefly, he did get them back for a little bit. So been following your theories on that on the Crimson Comet, so that's all great.
So the question I have for you with the Velocity 6 is he going to be like addicted to it now and be jonesing for it, or do you think he'll be able to...
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, are they going to go the addiction route with it?
Oh, you mean Barry?
Well, no, for Jay.
Will Jay get hooked on it?
I think Jay dropped the mic and left. He's like, I don't want any part of this. Goodbye.
He's done that a couple times.
Yeah, but he hasn't fallen off the cliff. He's still on the high of the Velocity 6. What's going to happen like 2 weeks from now?
Oh, see, I figured that he used it up. He went in, grabbed the bullet, and that was it.
Yeah.
Well, I figure the powers are gone now.
I don't know. I'd like to see him. I think that's an interesting angle. See him get addicted to the speedweed. And... You know, once he's hooked on it, what's he going to do for the next hit?
I just like my conspiracy theories, guys. That's all. I'm just throwing ideas out.
And probably.
It's a good one. As a Crimson Comet, I would endorse that in the name of Crimson Comet.
And the knight throwing and the arrows at the Avengers party at the loft, that was awesome. Especially when Flash went to go get the bow and arrow and quiver for Oliver.
Yeah. Here, let me grab this for you.
And then Thea, she ran and got hers and came back and half the fight was gone. But of course, with her bloodlust, she knocked him over the side.
Shouldn't that sate her bloodlust, or because he didn't actually die?
That's a good question. Well, yeah, a little bit. Not completely, because it wasn't the person that hurt her. Yeah.
See, I'm not sure if that was his bloodlust or not, rather her bloodlust or not there, because remember, after the experience she had with Damian Dark, there wasn't as much of the bloodlust issue after that. And I assume it's still not come back fully. So I think that's more of her practicality. She is Malcolm's daughter.
Yes, she is.
She ended it. What did you do? I ended it.
And we'll talk about Malcolm later.
I love Malcolm.
Speaking of Dark, we did see Dark on The Flash, but he didn't appear in this episode.
What was that?
That was great.
He was on a high. He's like, oh, I need me some of that.
I love Neil McDonough so much that
I do too.
Just any little bit of him just would be awesome.
Okay, full disclosure, Black Friday, actually Thursday. What do you call that at Thursday night when the stores open and you go out?
Atrocity.
A terrible idea.
Yeah, it is. So I mentioned this before on another podcast. What I did is I dropped my daughter off at the mall with my wife. It's a long story, but I did that. And on the way home, I saw that Best Buy had just opened at 6 o'clock. That's what time they open around here. So it was like 6:05. I roll into the parking lot. I go in there, and I knew that they had some DVD deals or whatever, and they were right there at the beginning. And I managed to catch the last two copies of Band of Brothers. And I was like, oh, the Blu-ray editions, complete series.
Phenomenal show.
For $9.99. And I already had the DVD set, but I got the tin for me, and I got the other one for a gift for somebody else. So part of the reason, though, was Neil McDonough. I mean, it's just great.
And there's so many great people in the cast.
Yes.
Of Band of Brothers. Before they were famous, before Damian Lewis blew up, I mean, he was Captain Winter. Neil McDonough was the guy that, like, ran across and blew up the tank.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he got the reputation for, was it killing POWs? Or, like, everyone thought he had killed the POWs.
Everybody
or something.
Thought he did. And
he offered them the cigarette and then bang, but yeah.
Yeah, they never explained it, but
right.
In that particular case, you're talking about real events. But Neil McDonough talking about Damian Dark, he plays that just so perfectly. And he has his entire career, whether you're talking about Desperate Housewives, believe it or not, I did just mention that.
Justified. I will raise my bourbon in honor of Justified.
Hear, hear. Phenomenal series. If you have not watched Justified, it is worth your time. It really is. This is some phenomenal acting, dialogue, and everything.
I want Damian Dark to have the gun up his sleeve trick. Like, I think, like, he's like, oh, magic, 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 boop, gun up my sleeve. Not magic.
You know, that would be cool. That would be a nice tip of the hat to Justified. That's great. Okay, so Damian Dark saw The Flash, and that was great how they got the Team Arrow into Flash.
I love Diggle's reaction to super speed.
Every time. Oh, did we know Barry was the... Did we know The Flash? Did we?
Do we know The Flash?
Yeah, that was really good.
Did I know we knew The Flash? Did I forget?
It's great.
That kind of brings up a point. I mentioned Diggle there. He didn't really get much else to do in this episode. I mean, the secondary characters that are outside of the original Oliver didn't get much to do.
No mention of his recently resurrected brother locked up in the basement.
Yeah, Andy Diggle.
Who's
and
feeding him?
Gunther. Because he's letting guys in left and right in Star Labs.
That revolving door you've got at Star Labs.
How many arrow caves have you lost?
I'm not helping, am I? I'm not helping. Also, Laurel was kind of useless in both episodes, really.
Well, she screamed. I mean, she did that.
She died.
Yes, she did. Well, everybody did, but Barry.
Except Barry. Hey, well, it was totally worth it because it killed Laurel off. I'm okay with it.
Do we know why Katie Cassidy declined the Flash appearance? I don't know if it was declined so much as I feel like they only have so much wiggle room with how many extra people they can squeeze in. Captain Lance didn't appear in either episode.
Right, and also, what's her name, didn't come over to the Arrow episode.
Danielle Panabaker.
We didn't see Iris at all in either episode.
Caitlin Snow. Oh, yeah, that's right. Brain fart.
Star Labs doctor, what's her name?
Dr. Wells, Dr. Snow.
Snow wasn't in the Arrow episode.
So they did a big crossover last season, Arrow and Flash, but they also did some little crossovers later in the season. We saw some characters pop over, and I believe Katie Cassidy was one of them that appeared on The Flash.
Well, we've got a perfect setup, which we'll get to a little bit later, with Oliver's son. So there is going to be cause for Oliver to come to Central City more often. Once every other week. I don't know, something like that. So that is, we'll get to that just in a second. Is there anything else with the Flash episode? Well, I guess the reveal of William Hawk.
Hawk man. Hawk girl.
No. William's last name isn't Hawk either.
What is William's last name? I didn't catch that.
I don't remember, but it wasn't Hawk. Crap. Someone will let us know in the chat room as we go on, I'm sure.
I don't remember. But speaking of Hawk and... On Crimson Comet, I have made it known that she is to be referred to as Hot Girl.
That's true.
Hot Girl. What did you guys think of the swooping in of Hawkman to join with Hawk Girl? What do you think of the Hawks in general?
I think he's a little arrogant. I do.
You think?
That's straight out of the comics, though. Like, Hawkman is kind of an arrogant D-bag.
And then the fact in the flashback, which we get finally in the Arrow episode, that she asked him to protect them with his wings, and he denied it. So I don't know if it would have been effective or not, but he didn't bother with it. He just said, I'll catch you next life. So it's like, really, dude? You're not even going to try? All right.
Well, he's died 202 times or whatever at that point. So
that was the first time, though. That was the first time in the flashback. Oh, and that's the flashbacks. Oh, I forgot totally about that. We got no Leon Yu, but we got flashbacks back to Agent Egypt. So we did get flashbacks.
Those were the Legends of Yesterday. So Legends of Yesterday, you could take a couple ways. One is the time travel aspect of it. And two is like way, way, way back when Pharaoh was in Egypt land.
Right.
So that was the reign of Ramses the Wise, and Vandal Savage played Jafar, which was pretty cool. You know, he had the staff and the beard and the hood and stuff. I was like,
that's a good analogy there.
No, it's Jafar. Come on. And the priestess, she was wearing that dress. Let me tell you that.
All right. Our network owner, Steven, has direct messaged me, and he showed a screen pic of Dr. Snow in Arrow. So we were remiss.
Caitlin, we hardly knew you.
Yeah, such a minor part. Okay.
Yeah, it was Iris that wasn't in there. That was where the brain fart was. And Joe wasn't in Arrow either. And I'm bummed because I like Joe.
Was Patty in Arrow?
Patty was, no. She was in the Flash one.
She's just in Flash.
She showed up just to shoot Dr. Wells, which I don't think there was any mention of in the Arrow crossover, but I guess that's okay. They'll save that for next week on Flash.
I don't think it was necessary.
No, I don't think it was either.
What? My girlfriend shot my mentor from another reality?
They had more pressing matters this week, I think, like the end of the world.
That's a good point. Why did they go to the farmhouse versus Star Labs? Because this all should have taken...
Revolving door. Revolving door. Gunther sucked.
Okay.
Hashtag fire Gunther. And also, the farmhouse, if you're going to train someone how to, like, learn how to use their superpowers, I guess, it's better to be out in open space.
Well, in the middle of the stadium, I mean, Star Labs, there's plenty of space, right? That was intentional, by the way.
Yeah, nobody goes in there, really, except all the bad guys.
She needed more room to spread her wings.
Right. Okay, so there was the fight at the church, which was pretty cool in the Flash episode.
Yes. So the Staff of Horus,
yes,
is a pretty cool glow stick of destiny, another Avengers connection. That was pretty great. It had a very ill-defined set of powers. It could fire blasts, but also, you know, if he chucked it down, it could make a big blast large enough to destroy the entire city, which I thought was impressive, all the way out to the farmhouse.
Right. So I thought the Staff of Horus was going to have some tie into Lian Yu. Like, Oliver was going to say, oh, I've seen that before, or I know where it is because it was on Lian Yu or something like that. So
I thought Oliver's tattoo would come into play to protect him there, or it would have come into play to protect him in the Flash episode when Damian Dark was trying to drain his life force. So I was kind of surprised the tattoo, after being teased by Constantine as, this will save you, has done nothing yet.
True. Yeah. Wonder what they're saving that for.
Something big, I imagine.
I don't know. Let's face it, we're at episode 9, we'll be at episode 10. There's more than half the season left after we get by the mid-season finales for both Flash and Arrow. So who knows? Plenty of time to bring up the tattoo.
Right. I just want to point out, right now on Blab, we all have 52 props.
That is done intentional. Yeah.
That's a big deal. I don't know who did that, but good job.
Our fans do that for us.
Yes. So let's talk about the mittens to grab the staff.
Before we get to that, let's just finish off the Flash episode. And the last...
Oh, I didn't realize. I thought we were...
Yeah, the last scene was Oliver sees Anna Hopkins, my girl, Berlin from Defiance, and he recognizes a boy about the age of somebody that could be his son. So that was a great way to end that episode, in my opinion, because we've all been speculating on it, at least on Starling Tribune. I don't know if you guys have been talking about it on Crimson Comet, the fact that Laurel's and Sarah's mom is in Central City, and the fact that Oliver's baby mama is in Central City. So,
and the last time he ran into her was also at Jitters.
Yes. Was it?
So she must go there quite a bit.
Well, you know, you got a budding young kid.
You got to get the Flash, man. I mean,
you need the caffeine.
That might be the only thing that helps you go during the day.
That's right. So I think we can close the door on episode 1 unless anybody has something before, and we'll move on to Arrow.
Can't think of anything yet, but I'm sure I will. That's the problem.
In the chat, we have a question from one at Steven John Drew, and he said, how amazing was the death scene? It was great seeing everybody die.
Everybody gets vaped.
Especially Laurel.
Who cares about everybody else?
Did you just like pause and rewind?
I kid you not. We're watching it, and honestly, my girlfriend probably dislikes Laurel more than I do, which I didn't think was possible. She literally cheered when Laurel got vaporized and said, she's finally dead. I said, well, so is everyone else. She goes, totally worth it.
Worth the price at any cost.
I have to say that the little quip that Malcolm had told Oliver about getting Thea killed or whatever, when I watched Thea being killed, I was like, Malcolm's not going to like this. He's going to come back and he's going to kill Oliver again.
But was he in Central City at that point in time, though? I mean, he might have gotten blown up, too. We just didn't see it on camera.
Well, he obviously knows a little bit more about Vandal than he's letting on, so he could have found some safe place somewhere.
He's a fan of the Vandal.
He is.
He's a Vandal fangirl.
What is he doing, bringing him back to life? What is that all about? Is there some history there that I don't know about?
Some kind of
why
deal.
Why did he scoop up his ashes?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's resurrecting him, but I mean, why?
Okay. So we know that the Lazarus Pit no longer works. How would he bring him back?
A Lazarus Pit. If you go to the comics, there's multiple Lazarus Pits.
Okay. Maybe he's what's going to fix the Lazarus Pit, because he's immortal. So if he dumps that ash into the Lazarus Pit, maybe it like neutralizes.
I like that.
Everybody liked the Lazarus Pit going bye-bye, though. Why bring it back?
It's the ultimate Deus Ex Machina. It has to go away.
And if he's Ra's al Ghul, he's not going to stay Ra's al Ghul for long if there's no Lazarus Pit.
That's true. I do like Adam's theory. He goes, I'm guessing Vandal might have been the original Ra's al Ghul.
Okay, so Lobster, that makes sense to me. It's self-preservation.
Oh, Malcolm, that theory? Yeah.
Yeah.
But to go to Adam's theory about Vandal being the founder of the League of Assassins.
Yeah, it could be.
I buy it.
Yeah, why not?
You got to pay tribute to the Godfather.
He taught Robin Hood.
Yeah.
He taught me not to feel pain.
Robin of Loxley.
He did teach Houdini as well, Adam points out to us.
That's right.
So, Vandal Savage has been around for 4,000 years, living one continuous life, while Hawkman and Hawkgirl have been in a cycle of death and resurrection.
Yep.
Yes.
Are they always adults when he has to kill them, or does he ever hunt them down as children, or does it not work? Or why do they always look the same and find each other and fit into their outfits and grow wings?
Find their outfits and fit into them, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That was great with the chest. Yeah, sometimes I find it, sometimes we find it together. She never finds it by herself, though. So, yeah, I think that they do grow up and he kills them. Although, you know, he could be their next door neighbor and figure it out and, like, kill them when they're kids.
Do you guys remember the movie, and again, this is going back a little bit, of, like, forgotten movies? Not that old, though. Hancock with Will Smith and Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Where they were, like, immortal superhero-type people fated to meet and yada, yada, yada.
Yep. Okay. Got that vibe.
There we go. Just thought I'd mention
it. I vibed on that.
You vibed on it. You're like, oh, well, I've seen this before.
I've seen this trope before. Yeah, you know, when you get old, you see the same thing. It's just reincarnated.
Superheroes in a farmhouse, you know, what have you.
It's just, I get this weird sense of deja vu, don't you?
Those roaming bills are going to be terrible.
Yeah, like you just traveled through time. So, the wings. Can we talk about the wings real quick? And again, this goes from the Flash episode, too. They just kind of, like, appear and disappear. There's no real folding or... Got to hide them under your coat.
And they form through clothes without destroying them,
through
too.
Through clothes, yeah, without any weird stuff going on. I mean, I think they look cool. It's probably the most visual effects-friendly way to do it.
All right, it's time out. It's nanites, and they attach themselves to the clothes, and then the clothes anchor themselves around to the body with a little thing. It's all done by nanites. It's in their blood. That's how it's done. It's technology.
No, it's magic. See, that was a good thing, a theme that they brought up in the Flash episode. That I feel got dropped a little bit in the Arrow episode, which was the division of science versus magic. So, the Flash episode, they were like, magic is different than science, so we need Oliver's help. The Arrow episode, they solved everything by science, which really, Arrow should have been the more mystical route of figuring stuff out.
And Barry points it out, that I have no experience, we have no experience with magic, we really need Team Arrow, and that's why they bring it in.
Yeah.
But it's Felicity. She knows science.
She does. She did well. I was impressed with how quickly she was able to play the Betamax.
I know. How did she do
like,
that?
She's like, oh, this is going to take me a while. And then like 2 seconds later, she's like, okay, here it is.
Did she like rewind it into a VHS tape or something? I didn't see any player whatsoever. So she scanned in.
It's analog, man. You can't just put it on like that.
What she did is she scanned it into something like a credit card reader or something. And it, so, yeah, I guess that's my hat is off to her. She made it work. Yeah. That was pretty impressive.
I like the Betamax image, obviously, you know, compressed and the rolling. And I'm like, oh, somebody needs to hit the tracking on that.
I know. So I have a couple hundred, actually, VHS tapes still in my basement. In my workout room, I have a VHS player down there. And when I run out of things to watch on the DVR, I start watching these tapes one last time to throw them away. And that's exactly what I'm finding is actually they've been sitting around for so long that they've been starting to, the cellulose, because they're cheaply made. It's not the more modern part of film. And so they're breaking down and I'm watching them one last time and getting rid of them. And I might not even get through all of them by the time.
You let that tape rock until that tape pops.
Right, right. And for anybody listening, I do have a full set of Robotech and Star Blazers VHS tapes. So if you're interested in either of those.
I'm guessing you're not letting go of those.
No, if anybody wants them, I'm able to ship them to a good home. So if you want them, let me know and I will ship you. I will warn you, they're bulky, they're heavy, and because they're like more than a couple dozen VHS tapes, and good luck finding a VHS player to play them up. But they're yours if you want them.
There's something to me about VHS. I don't know whether it's the nostalgia factor for me, but especially around this time of year, I just want to pop in a VHS and just sit there and fall asleep and not be woken up when the movie's over by the loud titles on the disc menu, but just the soft hiss of static as the thing shuts off.
Well, the other thing it could do, though, could rewind, and the hard stop and the rewind could be boom, and you'd be like, oh, what happened? What exploded?
Taking me back to my childhood, guys.
Woohoo.
All right.
So, Betamax went on. Albus Boardman from Hogwarts, or St. Roch College, got on the screen and talked about his conspiracy theory. Now, okay, Vandal Savage, right? So, there's this, the CIA had a file on him, but it got redacted. They had a picture from 1974, which if you've seen the most recent trailer for Legends of Tomorrow, you know that they're going to travel back to the 70s.
Was it 74 or 75? 75 is pinging in my mind, so I guess it doesn't matter. But
75, Cajun Sean says.
What has Vandal Savage, this is where I was trying to lead a minute ago, what has he been up to this whole time? Collecting knives, you know?
You got to sharpen them.
Do you think when Crocodile Dundee 2 came out and he saw the guy go like, now that's a knife. He was like, all right, that's going to be my thing. I've been around for 3,389 years, but that's going to be my thing.
The Highlander, man, there can only be one. They even joked about it.
They do.
I mean, that's the Highlander's there for thousands of years.
You know he's seen that movie. You know he rocks out to, who wants to live forever?
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
That was such a bad song.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to remember the other.
I don't know how to follow that up.
It was, what was the love song in Robin Hood, the one with Kevin Costner? That was big when I was in the later stages of college. And
In Prince of Thieves?
Yeah.
Was that?
I can't remember it, but my roommate in college at the time played it over and over again. I was like, I finally, after like a couple months, I like, just stop! Stop! Don't do it anymore! You're killing me!
Yeah, so he's been collecting knives and stuff. And is that all he does? He hunts down these two?
It's how he stays alive. He's got to.
It's how he rolls. Yeah, he gets stronger every time, too. Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing that he has that to keep him busy. Otherwise, he might try his hand at, world domination. Oh, wait, spoilers. I think he does in Legends of Tomorrow.
Exactly. He gets strong enough so he can do it no matter what. Okay, question. Where's Roz, a.k.a. Malcolm, during the final fight? Why is he not there? He just lets him hang.
He's there in the shadows. Yeah. I think you're right. I think he got blown up, too. But I think he's there in the shadows, just waiting to collect the ashes of whoever falls.
Hmm. So he's there, not participating.
Because either way, he's either going to get Vandal Savage's ash, or he's going to get the Hawk people's stuff and their weapons that may or may not be made out of nth material metal or ancient mystical talismans that they might have. Or he's going to get Oliver's stuff, which is, you know.
Could happen. So where are the Hawk pair going? Are they going to go off to some earthquake.
Where did they say? I missed where they said they were going to go.
I want to say St. Roch or something, but I have
something like that.
I have no idea where that is.
Well, that's where the college was that what's-his-name was from.
Rip Hunter?
No, the professor we met on the Betamax.
Oh, I didn't put that together.
I'm going to call him Professor Betamax.
I thought the professor in the Betamax was in the Pentagon.
No, he was from the college.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. All right. So that'll be interesting. And then, of course, the whole time travel thing, it makes things worse. So I think this is where the death comes into play in the gravesite.
There's always a cost for things like that. I remember watching in Smallville, they went back in time a few times to try and fix things, and someone almost always died after that, especially, what was it, season 5 when they killed Jonathan Kent. And you're just like, oh, it hurts. There's always a cost to magic and time travel.
I'm just going through the notes that Mr. Neal left. Oh, Mr. Neal. You know what? He gave us a voicemail to break his takedown. You guys want to listen to it?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Neal here, reporting live on location from Central City. First off, it's way too sunny over here in Central City. It's kind of creeping me out. Okay, with that out of the way, here are a couple of thoughts about Legends of Yesterday. First, I love the universe that Mark Guggenheim and Greg Berlanti have created. The characters all interact so naturally, they're a joy to really watch on the screen together. That, and aside from the natural chemistry between Ollie and Barry, the supporting teams work incredibly well together, not only in combat, but in quipping and one-liners as well. The introduction of Ollie's son at the end of the Flash episode, and how much he played into the storyline, really took me off guard. But I liked how Ollie's headspace played into the final confrontation with Vandal Savage. No discussion of this episode is complete without discussion of Hawkman and Hawkgirl. And I really gotta say, I dug Hawkgirl in this episode. She was smart, she was beautiful, she was skilled when she finally came into all of her powers. I really am going to look forward to seeing her in the Legends show proper and can't wait for that. And I love how they had Cisco incorporate Nth Metal. A little nod to the comics is always good. And finally, like many of our listeners, I loved all the pop culture references and meta winks at the camera throughout the episode. From mentioning the Geek Squad to referencing Indiana Jones to the one-liner about the farmhouse, I think this episode had enough geek references for everybody. That's it, guys. I can't wait to hear what you said. And don't worry, I'll represent over here in Central City on the Crimson Comet. Later, guys.
Thank you very much, Neal. And once again, if you want to hear more of his thoughts, please check out this week's Crimson Comet.
That's right.
Now, one thing that we haven't talked about were the differences and the contrasting of the fights in the warehouse between version 1.0 and 2.0. Because 1.0 kind of sucked. And 2.0 was kind of rad.
Version 1.0 is where you get your butt handed to you.
Yes.
Badly.
And then hopefully you've saved the game and you go back and you reload and you try again. Or you go back and buff your character some more and level up and add more characters to your party and then go and take the boss on.
Is it just me or did anyone else think the version 2 fight was kind of short?
It was.
I think it's just a time issue they had. They rushed it a little bit.
I mean, it's the problem that Avengers Age of Ultron had, like with the farmhouse and everything. It's like, okay, you know, we've got so much going on, but you need those character development moments.
You need to care if they live or die.
Yeah. So you had that going on. I mean, the fight in the loft was fantastic in the first episode, and the second fight in the warehouse was also great, but very short. I mean, you didn't have Bam Bam directing the episode, so, I mean.
No, Thor.
Thor, buddy! We love you.
Okay, Vandal Savage, fighting style of an immortal guy, right? Like, he's got the knives, he's throwing, he clearly has no feeling of pain, and one assumes that pretty much anything isn't going to kill him. And he pretty much kicks everybody's ass, even when they're winning in the second fight, he's still kicking their asses. It's just the staff that turns the table.
Mm-hmm. And the speed of Flash. He's never fought anybody with the speed of Flash.
He's never seen anything like it before. He says something to that effect.
Yeah, so that kind of tips our hands. But you can't just use that on its own. You have to distract it. You have to keep him busy. You have to hurt him a little bit, slow him down in order for the Flash to get in there and have the steps. And then you had to have the, what were they called? The gauntlet magic gloves or whatever?
The magic mittens.
They called them mittens, which I love.
Yeah, right.
But if you're Vandal Savage and you walk up to them and you see the Flash sitting there with these giant gauntlets on, what are you thinking? Because they weren't even trying to hide it. He's sitting there in full costume with the giant gauntlets on. I was like, at least put your arms behind your back. It's obvious something's different.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm nitpicking. I fully acknowledge this, but I'm allowed to do it, damn it.
I remember last season when the Flash used to like vibrate his face so no one could like tell who he was. And then now it's just like, yeah, whatever.
His secret identity does not really matter much. Let's be honest here.
Well, we didn't even touch on the Sisko bringing in Hawk Girl and saying, Barry, thanks. Really?
Thanks, Barry.
Really, bro?
Barry's like, come on, Sisko.
You did me a solid. All right. As the Crimson Comet representative, can we talk about the classic story, boy meets girl, boy gets girl, girl sprouts wings and flies away with her reincarnated soulmate?
Yeah, there was that going on, and there was also the Felicity Oliver relationship going on, and got the reset, but he's still, what is with the queens and secrets? I don't care what Anna Hopkins tells you. You tell that girl that you have a son. And also, when they come back into the loft, and we'll get back to the Hawk and Sisko and stuff in a second, but when they come back to the loft and there is that bowl of marvels all over the ground, you know that engagement ring is on the ground. And all she has to do is start picking it up and, oh, what's this? So
I kind of have my own issues with all that. The version 1.0 outcome of all that, she's kind of setting him up. And if you're Oliver Queen, you find out you've got a kid, you need some time to digest that a little bit before you start telling everyone about it. She is all over him as soon as he comes back to the farmhouse. I thought you weren't keeping secrets anymore. She completely violates his privacy. And if Oliver did that to everyone, they'd be flipping out. But there's like a double standard when it comes to Oliver. Oliver can't have a secret. That's the end of the world. But it's okay if we have secrets. That's what we've run into this time around. Oliver's tried not to keep secrets, but come on. He just found out he's got a kid. Give him a little bit to figure out what all's going on. Don't be all over him.
If you're going to propose to a woman, you tell her. You don't keep secrets from that.
Yeah, I'm talking about immediately when he comes back to the farmhouse and she's hounding him, though.
Yeah, I think the difference was version 2.0. They waited until they got back to Star City to kind of like have the conversation. And he was like, don't worry about it. It's over. But she knows better.
For the record, Emily Bett Rickards, you can hit me with a pillow any day of the week and twice on Sundays. Just come on. Bring it on.
I don't really see the fairness in the ultimatum that Samantha makes to him, that you can't tell anyone about this.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
I don't get that other than just for storytelling purposes, that it adds some dramatic tension to Elicity here. And that really bugs me, because one of the things that bogged everything down in season 3 was the Oliver and Felicity thing.
Right.
It got old.
So that bugged me so much that I reached out to Anna Hopkins. And Chris, you can confirm that I actually did.
I can confirm.
Yes. So I talked to Anna Hopkins and I asked, why did you go so hard on Felicity? Now, she's a little constrained on what she can say. I appreciate it. And I appreciate her responding. And basically, she said, I do what I'm told. Yes, she wants to keep her job in the WB DC universe. And I tip my hat to that. She's one of my favorite actors out there right now. I really enjoyed her on Defiance. I think she had a bum final season on Defiance. There was a couple episodes where we were like, what the heck? So in this particular case, she's like, I'm doing what I told. So yes, that bugged me enough to reach out to the actor and get her take on it as well. And then also, as long as we were talking, I asked her, so how's it like playing against Stephen Amell or Grant Bowler? Who's the better one? And she just said, it's both are great. Come on. What are you talking about? So she'd said that as well. Although, also, as Berlin, she plays Berlin on Defiance, and she drives big, huge, armored cars. And I said, it really bugged me watching you drive a minivan. What up with that? I don't know. She didn't respond.
Not as cool.
Yeah.
Hey, how do we see this whole son thing panning out? What's the end result going to be for Oliver now that he knows his son exists?
Well, I will say that regarding William, you can buy the action figures that he's playing with of Flash and Captain Cold. Those are the real tie-in action figures.
That's true.
For the Flash. Hopefully, he'll get an Arrow, Green Arrow action figure. And
I was thinking that.
And Ollie can role play when they're playing as the Green Arrow and do his, you have failed this city.
No, I was thinking that the Captain Cold figure that William handed him was the Green Arrow. It wasn't. It was Captain Cold.
Yeah, it was Captain Cold. But again, you can buy those. I think it would be cool, you know, if they're hanging out, he'd be like, hey, you want to learn how to shoot a bow and arrow? You know, because Samantha has said, you know, stay away from, you know, your billionaire playboy life. Taking him out and showing him how to hunt, that's like as far as you can get removed from that, right?
If it happens at all. I mean, Oliver's busy. He's got the crime-fighting life at night. He's running for mayor.
I think he's going to make time.
Well, he will.
And the fact that he happens to live in Central City just means now he's invested in keeping Central City safe, too. So if Flash needs help, there's even more of a reason for him to show up and help.
Oliver would always go and help Barry, no matter what. I think they've created that bond at this point
in time.
They're
bros.
Yeah, they are. He said, Barry's as close to a good friend as I have. He doesn't have Tommy anymore. He does have Diggle, but Diggle's more of a sounding board. And they've had their rocky past. So Barry's...
They're brothers, though. I'm with my brother, the green one.
You can't go drinking with him, though, because he'll drink you under the table.
That's right.
Won't faze him.
No, not at all. So I had a few thoughts on the whole interaction of Oliver and his son and estranged girlfriend, both timelines. Stephen Amell was just on point.
Yeah, he did very well.
His acting was very, very well done. And we've talked about before how he was a little more wooden in season one. I think that was a constraint of the character, but he just absolutely nailed it.
He did. He did. Really enjoyed watching. And that was one of the reasons why I asked Anna how she liked playing against Stephen Amell. And I just can't wait to see that again. And nothing good's going to come from it at this point because of the secret.
No, nothing good on multiple fronts. Because I honestly think what you're going to have happen now is we all know Damian Dark does not want Oliver Queen to be the mayor of Star City anymore.
No.
Because he went against him when it came to the Wharf District. So now you're going to have Oliver who's making random trips back to Central City and Damian Dark watching him. How do you win a war in an election? You leak the fact that guy's got an illegitimate son he's going to go see somewhere.
That's a good story. All right, guys, cage match. Break it down. Damian Dark versus Vandal Savage versus Doom.
Doom?
Victor Von Doom?
Or Zoom?
Or Zoom, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Roz has it in him to take down Zoom.
It's Zoom.
Malcolm Merlin. No. Wait. Brain fart. Dark. Damian Dark and Vandal Savage. So you're three big bads right now.
Oh, it's Zoom by a mile.
Yeah.
They can't touch him. He's too fast.
He's at least four times faster than
both Vandal Savage and Damian Dark seem to have problems with speedsters right now. They just don't know how to deal with them.
Vandal said he'd never seen anything like Barry before, and Zoom is four times faster than Barry. He couldn't handle it.
Right now, you think Zoom is the biggest threat to the DC universe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
CW, okay.
Zoom has his plans on everything. Right now, Damian Dark only cares about taking out Star City.
Okay.
At least for now, for whatever reason.
I would, as we've seen the heroes sometimes go at each other, we've seen the heroes teaming up against the villains. I always thought it would be fun to see the villains just be like, nope, I'm badder than you are, you know?
Yeah.
I was joking with Chris on his other show that a really great introduction for Vandal Savage would have been to have him show up and kill Damian Dark and then kill Zoom and just be like, mic drop, I'm the baddest.
That would have been cool, except for I don't think he can do it. I think Zoom's got him.
If he'd had the Staff of Horus.
Okay. That might have worked. Yep.
I'll take Vandal with the staff in the warehouse.
He did not kill Barry, though. He killed everybody else, but he did not kill Barry.
Barry was fast enough, which I love that we got to hear Oliver say, run, Barry, run, yes. Which we know from The Flash is a recurring line.
Right. Run, Forrest, run. Although, the real comics, I get it. Yep. Yeah, okay. All right. Anything else for the episodes before we move on to the Easter eggs?
Well, in the chat, there have been a mention of the recently released trailer for Batman versus Superman. Now, I think the fact that we're talking about a superhero team up, is it worth mentioning? How does this stack up? Like, are you more excited to see The Flash and Green Arrow and Hawkman and Hawkgirl and everybody on share the screen together, or are you more excited for Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman?
I said on Twitter and on Facebook today, I was more excited by the Legends of Tomorrow trailer than I ever was the Batman v Superman trailers, especially the most recent one. And I will stand by that. If you want to send me hate mail or tweets, send that to @RoundtableNerds on Twitter. I welcome your hate tweets, because I guess I'm just a hater on Batman v Superman. I just don't care.
Okay, I enjoyed Man of Steel. I enjoy Gal Gadot. I do not think that Gal Gadot, and I'll eat these words later, but right now, because you asked the question, I am not excited to see Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I could care less about Batman. Michael Keaton was my Batman ever since then. I haven't globbed on to the character. I know that goes against millions of other people because obviously the Nolan movies made a lot of big buck, but I can't. So if I'm comparing that to what we're watching now, this is exciting to me because I'm watching it every week. I'm watching it unfold. I'm seeing a bunch of characters come together. It's what I liked about the Marvel Universe and the Avengers. This is what I like.
I think that the difference is the TV DC universe has put in the legwork and they've built the universe. Like, A great thing that I loved in this episode was they mentioned what, or maybe it was in the Flash episode, what would an arrow from Earth 2 look like? And Felicity jokes that maybe he's old and fat.
Robert, yeah.
But we found out from the Flash that in Earth 2, the arrow, the hood of Starling City, is in fact Robert Queen, Oliver's father. So yes, he is older, and one would imagine a few pounds heavier than Oliver. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I would imagine if he's the arrow, he would be cut. I mean, he would be...
He would be in decent shape. That's a nice Flashpoint reference, too.
Yeah.
But to make the comparisons. But again, having recently watched the new Batman vs. Superman trailer, yeah, it's fine. This, to me, got my juices pumping a little bit more. Seeing this on screen and the action was, I think, more... was more fun than that.
And I'll admit, I might be a little biased. I gotta admit that I might have a little bias because the DC...
No, people have bias about Ben Affleck and Zack Snyder.
Okay, taking that away, I'm directly going to WB now, and they've taken away a lot of the great, like the Suicide Squad and stuff like that.
They took their toys and went home.
And Argus and stuff like that. Even though they mention it, Diggle mentions it, we're never going to get the wall again. In Arrow flashbacks. So maybe in the flashbacks, but definitely not in the future. So I do have issues with that. So anyway.
Agreed.
Let's move on to, we're running extremely long, which is okay because we're doing the crossover, but let's get into the Easter eggs. Chris, what do you got to start off with?
So we'll start out the Easter eggs. In the very beginning, when we're in our flashbacks, they're talking about celestial rocks falling from the sky. Well, if you're familiar with the actual comic origin of Vandal Savage, he's basically a caveman that happens upon a meteor slash asteroid that has crashed into the Earth that bathes him in radiation and mutates him and makes him smarter and immortal, and he lives from that point on. So it's kind of a nice callback to his origin in the comics by bringing up celestial rocks so much. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Sky rocks!
Yes, sky rocks.
Sky rocks are falling.
Right.
The next one on the list is Kendra's visions. And so we know from Hawkgirl in the comics that she sometimes does have visions. It's interesting to me that those were the flashbacks in this episode, so I thought that was a nice way to work that in, and also kind of compare and contrast with what Cisco's powers are, and how sometimes he's able to have visions, and he kind of counsels her a little bit with how to deal with those.
Right, and I should mention that these Easter eggs are from a comicbook.com article posted yesterday on December 12th, Arrow Easter Eggs, and DC Comics references in Legends of Yesterday. The next one that we're going to bring up is Hothset. In the comics, Vandal Savage and Hothset are actually two different people. Both are pretty bad. But more specifically, Hothset was one of the earliest Hawkman villains and one of the first reoccurring villains to have ties in ancient Egypt.
That's right. So our next Easter egg we kind of touched on earlier, Thea had scoffed and said, superheroes in a farmhouse? I've seen that in a movie. Yeah, we have too, because just about everyone saw Avengers Age of Ultron just like Thea.
Yeah, and I'll have to point out that in the Flash episode, I'll have to point out the party at the loft was very Avengers Age of Ultron-ish as well.
The next one that's worth mentioning is, obviously, one of the running gags on the Flash is Barry, despite having the Speed Force, is always late showing up for things. And once again, he's the last one to show up to the meeting between Merlin and Vandal Savage and Green Arrow. But he's got a pretty good excuse, right? He was just traveling through time.
It's a little bit.
Just a little time to do that.
All right. And then also, we got a reference to the Geek Squad. And I just want to ask, has anybody actually used the Geek Squad at Best Buy?
Never.
I've used the Nerd Herd, but I feel like that's only available in Burbank now.
Yes.
If it even exists anymore, it didn't blow
the
up.
The Burbank Buy More, right? Which is really just a front for the CIA.
This would be a moment for a mic drop right there. Just walk away. You've won.
I'm not dropping any of my mics. Not even my ATR 2100. Not happening. Sorry. I hear this thing's fragile, by the way. Anyway. So, yes, it was name dropped in the episode and very well, but I have never used them. So, if you're listening and if you have used the Geek Squad, I would be very interested in what your experience was like. Okay. Let's move on to the next one.
So the next one is Fleet Feet, I guess. I don't remember where the reference was in the episode, but I guess it's actually a sporting goods chain also that's all about running shoes.
Merlin uses it. He calls them Fleet
Feet. So nice little tie-in. It's entertaining.
Yep. What else do we got, Lobster?
Once again, we have the dual vision or the speed mirage when when Barry is running and he sees himself run past, that now is a signal that he knows he's going to time travel at some point. And I guess it's kind of inevitable, because if he's seeing himself, that means it's already happened in the future and he's just passing. Yeah.
But Sisko said you could change it, but his head hurt. So no confirmation on whether
time
that's
travel
possible.
In general makes my head hurt. All the different models of time travel that exist in sci-fi and fantasy. You're like, okay, what does this apply as? Is this Star Trek rules? Is it Doctor Who rules? Is it Babylon 5 rules?
Back to the Future. By the way, Lobster, did you see this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I've not watched it yet.
Okay, there is a Back to the Future reference. Let me know if you catch it.
I will do that.
All right. And then, apparently, there was a Jurgens Industrial reference, and I believe, isn't that the place where Vandal says that they should meet?
I believe so.
Indeed. Indeed, they do.
Right. So it's a reference to a longtime Green Arrow artist, Dan Jurgens, and Neil should be the one talking about this, by the way, who not only drew the title in the 80s, but came back for it to start in the New 52 reboot, which I have those.
Yeah, he did a lot of work on Superman, too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he wrote and drew the 1994 crossover series Zero Hour, in which dozens of characters died. Ooh, imagine that.
I remember Zero Hour.
I do, too.
Yeah. And then, which kind of looked like the wave that killed Team Arrow, and more importantly for Chris Laurel later in this episode.
Yes. Too bad they brought her back. I was hoping for a mess up in time travel, a hiccup in the time travel. Where'd Laurel go? I don't know. We haven't seen her in a couple days.
Who? Who's this Laurel?
All we've got is Sarah, and I'd be like, yay! We all know the rules of Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club. Evidently, time travel is the exact same way.
We don't talk about what?
Exactly. So Sisko points out the first rule of time travel is you don't talk about time travel. And then Ollie goes and learns about time travel from Barry.
Yes. The next one, I brought this up earlier. So St. Rock University, that's where Hawkgirl ends up going. I can't believe I didn't realize that we see it in the preview for Legends of Tomorrow. That's where they time travel back to in the 70s. One can only guess that they're going to see Albus Boardman at St. Rock University in 1976. There's a screen grab on that article that is awesome.
Then let's move on to my favorite gal, my second favorite. You know what? She is my favorite gal of the Defiant shows. Emily Beck Rickards would be my favorite of Arrow. But anyway, Samantha Clayton is not the mother of Oliver's kids or even a character in the comics, which is unfortunate. However, she's played by Anna Hopkins, which we love. Follow her on Twitter at Anna Banana. She'll love it. And the character first appeared in Arrow's second season. And you know what? We didn't talk about it, but I love the fact that she never cashed a check. She showed it to Oliver. Look, it's here.
She kept it. Yeah, I never cashed it.
That's her proof.
That's her proof.
I'm sorry, but real estate like that in Central City, there's no way.
Well, I don't know. The market probably fell out after the explosion and the emergence of the metahumans.
After the black hole.
Yeah.
The singularity. Things like that.
Right.
Next thing we've got is a touch theme medley of songs tonight. We had a You Can't Touch This by MC Hammer played, and then Invisible Touch, the 13th studio album from the English rock band Genesis, all referenced for our touch theme medley.
Sisko made an Invisible Touch reference, I think, at
yes,
one point.
Yes,
too.
He did.
Obviously, and I mentioned this one before, the Run, Barry, Run that we had Oliver say. That's always great.
Right, and then finally, this is what I was trying to remember before, the anti-Gandalf magic staff gloves.
Yes, yeah. Anti-Gandalf magic
right.
staff.
Right, nice Lord of the Rings reference there, especially since you're talking about Gandalf. Who is Gandalf the White? So Sarah, Black Canary, White Canary. You shall not pass. Yeah. So that's pretty heavy. That's pretty heavy. Back to the Future again.
Back to the Future, man.
Right, Indiana Jones and lots of great stuff.
The Sankara Stones.
Yes. So, Chris.
I understood that reference. We had Thea say, I understood that reference, which is amazing.
It was great. They were throwing them out left and right to the Avengers. It was great. So, Chris, what do you got?
The final one we had is Sisko's talking about Nth metal that he creates to, or uses to create weapons for the Hawks. In the comics, Nth metal is special and native to the planet of Thanagar, which is the home of Cotterhall and Shara Thal, the alien Hawkman and Hawkgirl. Don't wrap your heads around it. It's really hard to understand all their origins. But the big thing with Nth metal is the ability to negate gravity, allowing a person to fly using it. It also protects wearers from the elements, speeds the healing of wounds, increases their strength, and protects from extremes in temperature. And it's also magic resistant in the Justice League cartoons. So it is a very powerful metal. And I could see it coming into play in the Arrow world somehow. some remnants of nth metal being used to help negate Damian Dark's abilities, since it's resistant to magic in the comics.
Or even on Leon Yu in the flashbacks. Yeah.
What would be interesting to see, because Sisko made her that necklace out of the nth metal, but he doesn't know that it has all of these properties. So if he just made her that necklace, but then it comes into play later, that's what, like, saved her life from something.
Right. And we don't know that will actually have the same properties in the TV show. We might find out it's just magic metal that is cool.
I love the idea that the Skyrocks are where, you know, the Skyrocks were falling from that planet. What was the planet? Sorry. That they're from?
Oh, from Thanagar is what it is in the comics, but...
Thanagar, yeah, okay. So, I would love that if we find out that the Skyrocks that were falling and hitting ancient Egypt were from Thanagar, and it wasn't the Egyptian god Horus that gave them their powers, but some type of interference from the Thanagarians to bestow upon them these Hawk powers. Because they got their powers the moment that rock hit.
That's true.
Interesting.
Conspiracy theory.
All right.
I like it.
So, we're going to move on to some news stories. We're running long, so unless you guys have anything to specifically to say about any of these, I'm going to throw that out there. We'll just say the titles and move on. Okay.
Do it.
Works for me.
The first one is, even Stephen Amell doesn't know who's in the grave, and that is a comicbook.com article. And then the second one is, Constantine's gift to Ollie will play a role in a future episode. So we knew that, but it's actually going to happen. That is from screenrant.com. And then the next one is, CW releases a behind-the-scenes look at the Arrow Flash crossover. You can find that at superherohype.com. It is also a YouTube video, so that is great. And then number four, Arrow hits season high with crossover ratings. Well, of course it does. They were excellent episodes. I don't care if you're a Flash fan or an Arrow fan. They were great. And that can be found at comicbook.com. And finally, Wendy Miracle pipes up again, as she always has after every episode, and she says that Oliver's choices will have consequences. And in this particular case, I'm guessing it's his choice to keep the secret of William. And that article can be found at comicbook.com. There you go. Call back to the very original line of Felicity, which was great, by the way. The open comm during the fight, we didn't talk about that. She's like,
that was brilliant.
Mouthing off in the lair, and all of a sudden, she's like, oh, I didn't realize, open mic. Okay. And then, Chris, did you have anything to say about the comics and toy news?
So, Neil pointed out to me that there is a new version of the Green Arrow Reaction 3¾-inch retro figure that has come out. You can find them at Toys R Us. You can find them online. But it is up to date with the new bow and arrow and the mask on for the arrow. It looks pretty cool. It's about $10. You can find them at your local stores. If you like the retro-looking action figures, it's probably a cool find. I don't particularly like the retro ones, but I appreciate the fact that some people do.
I want to send them back in time to my, like, 10-year-old self.
Yes, that's what I want to do. The 31-year-old me is like, I've got cooler figures hanging up on my wall down here.
Yeah.
If I could send a Jetfire back to, I don't know, even 16-year-old me to keep it relatively intact rather than into the bazillion pieces that it's in, I would do that. And by the way, for those of you that don't know, it's a Transformer toy that looks like it's from Robotech. So there you go. Okay, so we have a voicemail. It is from our consultant, Black Adam. You gentlemen ready to listen?
Let's do it. Hey guys, this is Adam, and well, Thea crossed the streams there, which I got a kick out of right at the beginning. And you know, by the time everything went wrong, I had completely forgotten about Barry saying that it looked like he time traveled. Though I do kind of think that him being able to do that on demand could become kind of a cheap gag if they overuse it. I'd say one time a season is fine. And yeah, it's really, except for the B plot, it would have been hard to tell which one of these episodes was from which show, especially since they ended up being in opposite cities for the most part. I do think that Oliver not telling Felicity about William is still going to turn around and bite him in the butt, just not at the same time. And I kind of figured at the end there that we'd find out that Barry changing the timeline is what led to the future that Rip Hunter is now trying to stop. But that ending with Malcolm getting some Savage Dust was, well, one, screwed up, and two, very fascinating. I figured that Savage might have had some connection with the League in the past, potentially even have been Ra's himself for a while. So I'm guessing if we find out about that, it will be in Legends of Tomorrow. And Meteor Rock kind of brought back memories from Smallville, though obviously different type of meteors, and they did some cool stuff with it. I was wondering if that was the same knife that Savage used in the last episode, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
A lot of great points, Adam. I love the point that you brought up about the episodes taking place in the opposite city of the episode. Most of Flash was in Star City. Most of Arrow was in Central City, or the farmhouse around Central City or something like that. I don't know. So thank you very much, Adam. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can do so. Our voicemail is 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. So, Chris, what do you got left for us?
So I should remind you guys, we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. You can probably see that if you're watching the video. It's on our mic flags here. And since we're part of the network, we always like to talk about some of the other great shows that are out there. So if you're a Legends podcast fan, now's a good time to head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com. There is a massive backlog of stuff that was just posted on there. You can hear Wing and Beef talk about things such as Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Star Wars A New Hope, Daredevil, James Bond Skyfall, and much, much more. Just head on over to GunnaGeek.com/network or GunnaGeekNetwork.com. It's all there, man.
It's a lot of greatness. If you've been following Legends podcast for 5 years now, you know how good these guys are, and they're talking about some really cool things. So next week, Chris, what do we got up?
So next week is the mid-season finale of Arrow on the CW. It's season 4, episode 9, Dark Waters. The summary is, after the city is attacked again, Oliver makes a bold move against Hive. Malcolm checks in on Thea and leaves her with a warning. Things take a horrible turn when Damian Dark retaliates in a brutal manner at Oliver's mayoral holiday party. Does that mean someone might die? I don't know. Tune in next week to find out with this great episode directed by John Baring and written by Wendy Miracle and Ben Sokolowski.
Yeah, a great pair, by the way.
Dark Waters with an H, right? We're spelling dark with an H.
Nope, it's just D-A-R-K.
No H in this one. Okay, Lobster, we haven't had you on the podcast yet. You have to tell us your prediction, who's in the grave.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, you haven't even thought about this yet?
Oh, I've thought about it. My guess probably changes every week. It's got to be somebody big, but not big enough that Flash is going to come out for the funeral, because we know he didn't come out.
Right.
So I think that probably rules out Felicity, Laurel, and Thea, and probably Diggle, because I feel like he would come out if it was any one of those.
So there's the baby mama, there's Lance. I think those are the two front runners for me right now, and I'm still...
I think somebody brought up in the chat that William
could be.
Is a good guess now, because now that they've made him important, and he's not Connor Hawk, so might as well kill him off.
No. They killed the baby mama, so then Oliver has to be single dad, mayoral candidate.
Oh.
Either way, I'm sad, because then Anna Hopkins won't be coming back to the show.
Right.
Following the season, which I really like her.
Right. William Deadson, I think somebody put in the chat.
You know what? I never thought about this, and I'm completely crossing the streams. They have not cast Captain Marvel yet. Anna Hopkins would make an excellent Captain Marvel. I'm just laying that on the floor right now.
Put her over in Marvel.
Yeah, so she gets killed from here, just go over to Marvel, become Captain Marvel, and oh,
perfect.
It's going to be perfect. All right. I just want to thank everyone, our listeners, who are listening to us live on Spreaker, who are viewing us live on Blab, and who have downloaded the podcast, which our downloads are up. We are getting new listens, new downloads. We really appreciate you. We really do. And our replays on YouTube. And as well, I've said it before, but thank you very much to our editors, both Heather and Chris. They have done a phenomenal job getting podcasts out on time. And I will tell you, just like you saw the massive download of Wing earlier, as we talked about before on the Gunna Geek promo, this might suffer the same fate without Chris and Heather. So thank you very much.
And also a big thanks to everyone that watched live for our Blab tonight. I know we had Cajun Sean, we had Adam in there, One Big Papa was in there. I'm sure I'm missing some other folks that probably dropped in and watched for a little bit, but big thank you to all of you that did join in. Don't forget, you can join us live every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern here over at Blab as we recap the latest episode of Arrow. Just search for Starling Tribune. Don't forget, after the show, we'll probably open up the fourth seat on Blab. So if you want to come and chat with us and hang out with us for a bit, we'll do that for a while. And the next live show you can see on the Gunna Geek Network over at geeks.live is All Things Good and Nerdy. That's Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So head on over to geeks.live to watch that.
And don't forget to go on to iTunes if you're listening through podcast app or iTunes or whatever. Please give us a 5-star review. It really does help with our ability to rise in the rankings for people that are searching for this sort of content. So if you like this show, we would appreciate you coming on board for that and giving us a 5-star review and rating us and subscribing to us as well. Believe it or not, subscribing in iTunes actually impacts your searchability. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate that. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and YouTube at the Gunna Geek YouTube channel, which you'll get far more than just Starling Tribune over there. It is happening, and we are getting new subscribers there all the time. We really appreciate that. And don't forget, you can always badger us on Twitter at Starling Tribune.
And finally, to wrap things up, you can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. While you're there, check out the forums, check out all the other great shows that make up a part of the network. And finally, if you want to share your thoughts with us on the Starling Tribune, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or best of all, be like Adam, give us a call at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283.
This was a fun episode. I really appreciate it. This is great, guys. And I think that about wraps it up for the week. Don't forget, we will open up the fourth seat after the credits. So, but before we get there, are there any last words before we open up Blab? At Roundtable Nerds.
Sky Rocks.
At Jonah Lobster.
Hot girl.
And I'm at Stargate Pioneer. And I'm going to sign off with Baby Mama. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
Hello, and before we get into the podcast today, I just want to take a moment, as we are in the holiday season in the fall of 2015, to say that if you have a couple of dollars, what we would like in the Gunna Geek Network is to help out a charity of a friend of the network, Stephen Boyd. He is actually a co-host on the Walking the Walking Dead podcast. And with his other endeavor, Comic Collector Live, he has put together a little charity for the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital in Tennessee. And what he does is he goes out and buys toys and necessary items for the emergency room and the kids in long-term care and stuff like that. So it's needed items. He actually goes to the hospital and gets a suggested list from them. And then he loves to go and shop because he knows what the kids like because, you know, let's face it, he's kind of a kid too. If you want to hear more about it, go listen to the Gunna Geek podcast number 122. You can find that at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And then also, if you want the PayPal link, it is CCL4Kids@ComicCollectorLive.com. That's CCL, the number 4, so the letters CCL4Kids@ComicCollectorLive.com. And you can find that in the links to this podcast. And you just have a couple of dollars, that would be great. If you have more than a couple of dollars, that would be fantastic. They have a stretch goal of $3,000 this year. And I will say, if you donate as a friends or family on PayPal, they will use 100% of that money goes directly to purchasing items for the children's hospital. So did I miss anything, Chris?
I think you got it all. So just go check out that episode of Gunna Geek podcast and you'll find out a lot more about it. Steve's very passionate about it. And I think his passion will move you towards wanting to be involved as well.
Yep. So if you like comics, if you like what comics can do, like the Marvel characters and DC characters as they go out to hospitals or whatever, this is our attempt in a smaller scale to benefit a charity. So there you go. And now on to the show.